Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen and living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text that we consider this morning is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verses 4 to 15. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall keep in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets hanging between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve him, and shall take oaths in his name. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are all around you. For the Lord your God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord your God be aroused against you and destroy you from the face of the earth. So far our text. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. As we look forward to and dedicate another new school year to the Lord, we also look back, way, way back, to the purpose and the foundation for which this school and all Christian schools were built, the purpose for which we are striving together, not only striving together here amongst ourselves, but with all the saints. For the Lord our God is one. As Paul reminded us a few weeks ago, we have one God and one faith. There is one church, one people, one hope, one goal. The Lord reminded the people of Israel of that significant and important fact on this occasion. And 2,000 years later, Paul reminds us that the church was still one, striving for that one hope, serving that one God. And now, another 2,000 years after Paul, here we are, still one, still striving for that same hope, that same goal, to hear the Lord our God and to serve him with our life. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. The word that we translate heart here in the Hebrew actually means all that is within you. And not only in the metaphorical way that we would say it, all that is within me, but quite literally it's the word for your intestines. Everything inside your body, your mind, your heart, your gut. That all of it would be dedicated to the Lord. Your thoughts, your feelings, your love. And all your soul, that is, your life, the entirety of your life dedicated to this one goal, this one hope that we have within us, and all your strength, all the energy that you have given to the service of the church, to the love of the Lord, and the love of one another. And what is the number one thing The number one way in which the Lord says, this above all other things you shall do in the service of the church. More important than going out, more important than evangelism, more important than even building a church, more important even than coming and gathering together Sunday morning. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk to them when you sit, when you walk, when you lie, when you rise up. Naturally, if we take verse 5 seriously, if we recognize who the Lord is and what He's done for us, and we rejoice in that love and that forgiveness and the death of His Son Jesus Christ, and we do love the Lord with our heart and our soul and our strength, naturally we are going to teach our children. Those things that we love, we share with our children. If it's fishing or hunting or shopping, we want to share the things that we love with our children. And even more importantly then, that we share that love of the Lord. Now notice, to whom does the Lord give this command? All these words that I speak to you today, you shall teach to your children. Moses doesn't call the priests aside. He doesn't wait till pastoral convention or teachers' conference and say to them, it's your duty to make sure the children are taught the word of the Lord. But no, he stands before the entire congregation of Israel and he says, you teach your children. The Lord lays this command firmly and primarily upon the parents, and especially the fathers. Moses doesn't use the word father in our text, but he does use the masculine you. He's talking to the congregation, he uses the masculine, speaking primarily to the fathers, and Paul is very blatant about it later on. Fathers, train up your children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. The Lord lays the responsibility to train the children on the parents. Generally speaking, it's not the way of the world. The way of the world, both from the parent side and often from, you know, the educational side, is, well, this is what we do. We will educate your children. Let us do what we know best. You guys don't worry about it. But that's not the way the Lord directs. He says, no, your responsibility. And in fact, we see many examples in Scripture where fathers failing to listen and to do as the Lord commands here are rebuked by the Lord. Eli, who did not train his children in the way of the Lord. Even David and Solomon were rebuked by the Lord, because they failed to take this command of the Lord. They failed to take this responsibility seriously. The role of the pastor and the teachers, they are there to help you and to aid you, but the responsibility is yours. That, of course, doesn't mean that you have to homeschool your kids. No, we have a school. And there are public schools, too, if you go that route, to help you in the teaching of your children. But it means that you need to be involved, that you need to take that seriously and to talk to your children about their education. Verse 7 says, teach them diligently. In the Hebrew, it actually, if you translate it literally, it says to repeat over and over again. You don't just tell kids something once. That never works, right? You have to repeat things over and over again so that they learn, not just hear it, but that it sinks deep into them and it remains there. That means talking to your kids about their classes. Right? Ask your kids, what did you learn in school today? And of course, the kids are going to roll their eyes, right? Every time. But that's okay. Asking them, talking to them about it so that they have to think, oh yeah, and every time they think about it, every time they remember and express that, it's driving those lessons deeper. All the things that they learn in school, but especially what the Lord puts before us today, the Word of the Lord. Their religion classes, their confirmation classes. That's especially true when it comes to confirmation, because they need to learn that memory work. And that memory work isn't just something that we do just because. It's something we do exactly because this is what the Lord says, that you they remember these words that I speak and they're bound in their hearts. The kids aren't going to learn their memory work if the parents aren't working with them. Some kids can wait till Friday morning and go over their passages a couple of times and have it down well enough to say to me on Friday, and so they get an A on that week's memory work. But a month later, when they have to write it on the test, they're not going to remember it anymore unless they've been going over it every day. And of course, that's not something that kids are likely to do by themselves. There are some who do, but for the most part, it's something that the parents need to be involved to make sure, yes, going over the memory work every day. This is one example. But even before confirmation class, the Lord shows us talking with them, reminding them of the Bible lessons, sitting down to lunch and having a devotion, reading a Bible story to your kids before you go to bed. That was the original intention of the Small Catechism. It wasn't a book. I think I've told you this before, but originally the Small Catechism wasn't a book. It was a poster. And it was supposed to be hung on the wall of the house. And you're supposed to go over it a little bit. The fathers, Martin Luther specifically wrote the Small Catechism for the fathers to use to teach their children the basic truths of the Christian faith. Going over it every day. Of course, the Lord knows our sinfulness. And so he knows what we're going to say, even before we say it, but I don't have time. I'm too busy. Who has an hour to set aside to spend doing your homework with your kids or going over the Small Catechism? Now notice the wisdom of the Lord. Verse 7 again. Teach them diligently to your children. When you sit, when you walk, when you lie down, when you rise up. In other words, the Lord says, that's fine. You don't need to set aside an hour in which you're doing nothing else. But whatever you're doing, talk to your kids about these things. When you pick them up from school on the ride home, when you go fishing, you know, if you're out in the garden weeding and you make your children come and weed. It's fine if you don't necessarily have time to set aside an hour. When you sit down for dinner, as we just talked about, discuss these things with your children. Why should we do this? Verse 10, so it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Why should we do this? Because look at all the wonderful things that the Lord has done for us. Now, the examples that Moses gives here are specific to the children of Israel, right? We don't probably have, I don't think anyone here has vineyards or olive trees. We certainly don't have any that we didn't plant ourselves. They are specific to the children of Israel, but the basic thought is the same. A lot of you work hard on farms and in factories and stuff, and are proud of the fact that you've worked hard and built a life for yourself and your children. That's good, and it's true. But a lot of it still comes from the opportunities that you have been given from the Lord, and no merit on your own part. We have been blessed by the Lord far beyond any other group of people throughout the whole world and throughout all time. And that's not our doing. But even more than that, we remember all the blessings of the Lord that we've been talking about as we go through the book of Ephesians. All the spiritual blessings that He died for us, that He saved us, that we have that hope that we're striving for and towards. And looking upon all these wonderful blessings that the Lord has given us, Moses says, don't let your children forget the wonderful love of the Lord. That's what it really comes down to. It's not as if Moses is saying, well, the Lord gave you a Christmas gift and you need to make sure that for all your life you show proper appreciation for that Christmas gift. Moses is saying, look at the abundant love and grace and blessings that the Lord pours out upon His people. Don't you want your children to be a part of that? Don't you want them to know and rejoice in that love of the Lord? To know that good shepherd who takes care of them and has given us so much, who has given us this school so that we can train our children from the beginning in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Therefore you shall fear the Lord your God and serve Him. That word, fear the Lord, always reminds me of the Calvin and Hobbes comic strip where Calvin is playing with his dad's super expensive binoculars. And he's so excited his dad finally let him use them. So he's running through the forest, throwing them in the air. And of course, he trips and smashes the binoculars. And he is afraid. He is afraid partially of the punishment and the anger of his father. But I think deeper down, he's afraid to look his father in the eye and admit what he's done. I know when I did things like that, the punishment wasn't nearly as bad as the disappointment of my father who loved me. That's the fear of the Lord that we're talking about here. It's not the fear of our lives or the fear of a tyrant, but it's the fear of someone we know loves us. And we are afraid to disappoint them. And yet, the love of our fathers, when we messed up, was greater than their anger, wasn't it? Sure, they may have shouted and yelled at us, but they still loved us. And the next day, it was forgotten. And the love of God is greater even than that. So that we are able to fear Him. That's what the prophets remind us. That's what Jeremiah reminds us. With you there is forgiveness that you may be feared. That sentence sounds a little odd at first. But we recognize that we can have that fear of the Lord that in which we love Him and are ashamed of what we have done before Him, because we know His love is greater and His forgiveness is greater. In the comic strip, Calvin was so afraid that he ran away. Didn't make it very long in the forest that night, but he tried to run away. But we don't need to run away, despite how we have failed our Father. Because we know what He'll say. You are forgiven. Welcome us back. And it's exactly that love of our Father, of our good shepherd, who gave His own Son to die for our sins, that we want to teach and instill in our children from the very beginning. Therefore, the Lord says, teach them when you go out, when you rise up, on your doorposts, on your hands, hanging between your eyes, that this love and this grace and these blessings of the Lord may always be before you, and that promise that He is our good shepherd may comfort and sustain you and your kids forever. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.